Good morning, Valley Brook family and friends, and welcome to another gorgeous Sunday here at Valley Brook. And it is a pleasure to have all of you joining us virtually and all of you who are here in person. So God bless you this morning, and we are looking forward to a celebration as we begin a new series. But before we get to that, I'm going to introduce the lovely and talented Neola Parson, who will be giving us the announcements and introducing the offertory prayer and the scripture reading.
Good morning, Valley Brook. We want to give a very special welcome to all of our first-time viewers and visitors. We are happy that you have chosen to worship with us here at Valley Brook. Please click on the link below to access our first-time visitor card and take just a few minutes to complete it. You may also find this form on our streaming page after the service. This will help us to pray for you and to notify you of future Valley Brook events. If you have information about a member who has become ill, or if you would like others to pray for you, please complete a prayer request card, e-card, located under the Pastor's Corner tab or on the streaming tab on our website, and we will be happy to lift you up. Also, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., we have our Power Hour of Prayer. You can join us. The phone number and access code are listed on our website's homepage and in today's bulletin. Offering. For your convenience, you may contribute on our website through our giving tab or mail your donation to our office address as listed on the back of the bulletin. Just a friendly reminder, as our guidelines for COVID are constantly changing, we ask you to please stay tuned to our announcements for any changes in our safety protocols. As of now, we are encouraging everyone to wear a mask while inside the premises. We will continue with our current protocol of pre-screening and temperature checks until the end of July, at which time we will then reevaluate. Thank you all for helping us make Valley Brook Community Church a safe place to worship. Outreach efforts. Our July outreach efforts will focus on donating backpacks to students at the Homewood Center, as well as much-needed school supplies for students at Cradle Rock and Guilford Elementary Schools. Additionally, we will continue to provide blessing bags for those struggling with homelessness in D.C. Please see this morning's bulletin with additional information about how you can impact our community through our outreach ministry. And I do want to read a note that came from the Guilford Elementary School support team. And it reads, "We would like to say thank you so much for donating school supplies to our school. We greatly appreciate your generosity." College student send-off. After a challenging year, college campuses are reopening for students. Let's send them off with supplies and snacks. We are seeking food donations, packages of individually wrapped snacks like chips, cookies, pastries, nuts, and popcorn. Please drop your donations off at the church, the worship center, or bring them to the picnic. Yes, I said picnic. We'll talk about that in a minute. At the fellowship center. You may choose to donate $15 in lieu of a snack, and it will be purchased on your behalf. Please contact Tracy Sinclair with any questions. Annual church picnic. It is back. I'm excited. So the VBCC annual church picnic is back. Join us on Sunday, July 25th. July 25th at 1 p.m. at the Fellowship Center. Now, this year's picnic is going to be just a little bit different, but it's still going on because it's BYOE. Bring your own everything. BYOE. Does that mean BYOB too? But BYOE, bring your own everything. Come with your own food, blanket, and any other items and spread out as you feel comfortable over the backyard. The pool will also be open for those that want to swim. So this is exciting. This is exciting. There will be no Bible study this week. Just a reminder, there will be no Bible study on this Thursday, July 8th. Please reference this morning's bulletin for our scripture reading and more complete information about the Valley Brook happenings. You may access the bulletin by clicking on the streaming tab and click on the link labeled Virtual Bulletin. Now, before I go into the July birthdays, we do have a birthday thank you that I would like to share from Pastor Dan. And it reads, Dear Valley Brook friends and family, I was totally blessed by the deluge of love and affection last Sunday during my drive, stop, and buy birthday celebration. The trivia questions, the colorful version of Happy Birthday, the prayer led by Elder Jim Allen, balloons, decorations, gift bag signs, music, it was all working. At one point, I just sat back and watched everyone enjoying each other. And I realized, though it was a celebration for me, just about any excuse would have done for everyone to get a chance to see and touch one another again. Later on, as I opened the cards and gifts, I literally had to take an intermission. The genuine affection and appreciation pouring from them was simply overwhelming. Thanks to my precious wife, who was the mastermind of the event, and to the always phenomenal Maureen Davis, who brought the vision to life in stunning fashion. Thanks to all my friends and family for your support. And to the entire Valley Brook family, thanks for just being you and doing what you do. Love, Pastor. And you've got to see what's sitting out front. I'm not going to give it away, but you've got to see what's sitting in a parking space out front. That should tell you something. It even has a name, and his name is Chance, because it might be the last chance. So now, for those July birthdays, and this is a month like no other month. There's some wonderful, incredible, phenomenal birthdays in July. So let's start with July 1st, Joselle Mayo, happy birthday. July 3rd, Avon Dorsey, happy birthday. July 5th, Robert Craig, happy birthday. July 10th, James Barnes Sr., happy birthday. July 16th, Jasmine Brown, happy birthday. July 17th, we have three of them. We have Anika Beatty Mills, we have Maureen Davis, and Akasha Archer. Happy birthday. July 22nd, Gina Standard. Happy birthday, Gina. July 23rd, Shanice Archer. Happy birthday, Shanice. And July 24th, moi. Happy birthday, Neola. And now we'll have our offertory prayer and scripture reading by another birthday guy, Robert Craig.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, it's so good to be here. I love July 4th. Well, first, I will be reading Psalm 27. Let me say that again. Psalm 67. 67, sorry about that. But anyhow, I love July 4th because the whole country gets together every year to celebrate my birthday a day early. That's right. And for those who are third, they're not celebrating a day late. Sorry, it's my fantasy. And the last couple of weeks, I've been singing a new song. I've taken that from the Munchkins. Ding dong, the bugs are gone. The bugs are gone. Those nasty bugs are gone. For those of us who work outside, we really appreciate that they are gone. Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us. That your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Let's pray. Father, we give you all the praise and honor because you do bless us over and over and over and over again. And we give you glory. We praise you. We give you praise for what you've done for us. And we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you. We are grateful for what you have done for us. You've not only blessed us with financial needs, with family, with friends, but you have blessed us with life, life eternal. So we give you the honor and the glory and praise. And we also ask that what we give today will also bless others, that they may come to know your love and your mercy and your grace. And we give you all the honor and all the praise through Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. And thank you, Neola, and thank you, Robert, and thank you, Valley Brook. And yes, my vehicle is called Chance for the reason that Neola mentioned as well, you know. But also just because it represents a new chance every day to go exploring the Lord and living life with him. But I wanted to say, Robert, I'm telling you, if you are singing Ding Dong, the Bugs Are Gone, they really had to be a problem because you are the most nature-friendly person I know. So if those bugs are being wished by Robert Craig to go, they were bad news. Okay, so after today's message, we will be hearing from George. George Clanton's going to give us a worship selection. And so that will be a treat. And I will certainly be tuning in and encourage you to do the same. And let's give the Lord a big round of applause for bringing us into July, a brand new month. Amen. July 4th. Isn't that great? I wanted to give you a clarification before I get into today's message. And some of you read the piece that I wrote on Friday, the Just a Moment piece. And for those of you who don't remember that you read it or remember what it said, let me read it again and then I'll give you my clarification. It was Just a Moment with Pastor Dan. I write these every Friday, and it's living a good and structured life has its place. It helps us reach our goals. It keeps us out of trouble. It helps prevent us from hurting others. It keeps our lives relatively in order. However, though such discipline may regulate our behavior, it does not give us the abundant life Jesus promised. The difference Jesus makes is relational. It comes from his personal involvement in our lives. If we are blessed by the grace of God, we become aware of the emptiness of order and regularity and duty, and we begin to long for greater substance. The missing something of a well-manicured existence can bring us to a place of openness to the one who is life. He himself is the substance our souls long for. In him is the fullness we are seeking. This doesn't mean those who know Jesus will never again experience futility, emptiness, or pain. It does mean we are no longer confused about where to go for care and replenishment. Something to take just a moment to consider today. Now, a good friend of mine asterisked this piece, and he added a note, and he said, not that there's anything wrong with living an orderly and structured life. Somehow, what was communicated through that piece to him was sort of an assault on order and structure and living a disciplined life. So I decided that I was going to, because he picked that up and I respect his opinion, I said, let me check with my editor-in-chief. And so I went in and talked to Laverne, and I said, what do you think about this? And she said she could see how it would be, it could seem like I was making a case against order and structure in our lives. She could see how that would read that way. And so to clarify, I was referring... no problem. So to clarify, I was referring to life before and after Christ. I wasn't talking about order versus disorder and chaos. I was speaking about that life before Christ. I wasn't suggesting that there's anything wrong with order or structure. In fact, as my wife pointed out to me, as Laverne pointed out, that once we come to know Christ, it leads us to greater order and greater structure, and away from the sometimes reckless abandonment that comes from just utter selfishness. And so it wasn't an assault on order and structure. I was just referring to life before and after Christ, and thinking specifically of people whose lives are well ordered and well manufactured and well manicured, and they have all the right things in place, and are assuming that because they have all the right things in place that they have life. And the point was that no matter what kinds of things we have in place in our lives, without Christ, we do not have life. And so if we are structured and ordered and we have Christ, we've been given the best of both worlds. And so that's the clarification. And so just to make that clear, and if you have any other questions, please feel free. I appreciate your feedback. I do. But for the record, even though I am most of the time very meticulous about my word choices, my goal is not to be a perfect communicator. I'm often heartened by Peter's words to Paul, or about Paul, when he said, you know, Paul writes some things and sometimes it's hard to understand what he's saying. And so I said, thank you, Paul. I'm not the only one. But my goal is not to be a perfect communicator. It's to be authentic and to be consistent. To be consistent, really, with the primary theme of this ministry, which is presenting the infinite blessings of knowing Christ and getting to know him, and how doing so is relevant to and profoundly impacts every other area of our lives. So that is really my goal. On this U.S. Independence Day, as we move forward with today's message, on this Independence Day, let us also give thanks to the Lord for the independence that he earned for us. For as the scripture tells us in Colossians 1:13-14, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And again, that's Colossians 1, 13 through 14. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So consistent with this theme of independence and liberation, this morning's message is titled, "And Deliver Us from Evil," because he delivers us from evil. So today's message is titled, "And Deliver Us from Evil." So to further develop this, I want you to turn your attention to what I consider to be one of the most daring and one of the most dramatic rescues recorded in the scriptures. One of the most amazing feats of liberation that you will find in the scriptures. So appropriate on Independence Day when we are celebrating our independence or our declaration of independence that had yet to be won, so there was a lot of fighting to go, but our declaration of it. And I can't believe, when you turn to this passage, I really can't believe it's been 8 years since I last shared this text passage in a message. I mean, it seems like it's been more recent than that, but I keep track of when I shared messages and how long ago it was and in what context. And it was 8 years ago that I last shared this passage. Now, I know that maybe we covered it in Bible study or something, or maybe somebody else taught about it, because it sounds like it's been more recent than that. But anyway, it's Mark chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 1 through 20. Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20, as we look at the subject, "And deliver us from evil." Deliver us from evil. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And the word of the Lord says, "They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained, hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus? What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me.' For Jesus had said to him, 'Come out of this man, you evil spirit.' Then Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' 'My name is Legion,' he replied, 'for we are many.' And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them.' He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, 'Go home to your family and tell them, how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Amen and amen. You know, the main idea, if you want to capture this, if you're taking notes, the main idea, there's so much. There is so much in this passage that we could look at. We could take it from 100 different angles. But today, if you're taking notes, this is the main idea that I want to communicate from this passage. Whatever the evil one twists, whatever the evil one twists, the Lord can straighten. Whatever the evil one twists, the Lord is able to straighten. And I just want to take some sections of this passage, sort of look at each verse, not every verse, but certain verses to highlight and to accentuate this point that whatever the evil one twists, the Lord is able to straighten. That whatever kind of havoc he wreaks, the Lord is able to put it back together. Whatever storms he stirs up, the Lord is able to speak to them and bring calm. Whatever messes he makes, the Lord is able to straighten it out. And whatever he destroys, the Lord is able to restore. And he is able to make that which was a curse turn into a blessing. And so we look at this story, and I'd like for us to look at certain elements of this story to bring that point out. The first one is in verse 4 here where it says, no one was strong enough to subdue this man. They tried, but no one was strong enough to subdue him. They could not even chain him. No one was able to subdue him. No human power could apprehend or suppress or eliminate the forces that were at work in this man's life. He was beyond all human help and all human hope. And you know, when I think about this, I think, you know, people are no match for the evil one. People are just like they could not hold this guy down. They cannot check Satan's power. Human beings have no ability to subdue the power of the evil one that he is exercising, not over just dramatic cases like this, but over the world in general. Under the power of the evil one, nobody is able to subdue their oppressor. And this is really, as I've said, a dramatic example, a scary example of what is universally true of mankind. You know, when Jesus said on the cross as he was dying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Or in the King James Version, as we are familiar with it, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What Jesus was saying here is he was making a statement that was a reflection of his awareness that mankind is hopelessly imprisoned. They're doing this. They don't know what they're doing because they are hopelessly imprisoned in a diabolical deception that is obscuring from them my true identity. That's why they're doing this. They don't know who I am. And they are getting a big assist from a power that is greater than themselves. The scripture says the whole world, the devil leads the whole world astray. And it says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And that's why I began by saying on this Independence Day, let's thank the Lord because he rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he delivered us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Now, when you look at people running around doing their stuff, you know, the scripture says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, I know it's hard because flesh and blood is creating the mess. I know it's difficult to separate the person from the action and to see the cause behind it. But scripturally, we are alerted. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. They know not what they do. Now, everybody's responsible for their actions because there is an escape. There is a way out. And the way out is Jesus. But when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, he knew that there was a force beyond human nature that was beyond human forces that were holding people captive and giving them a false view or obscuring his true identity so they wouldn't come into the light and believe. As it says, Satan has blinded the minds of those who don't know Christ, so that they can't even see the glory of God. All they hear is noise. It's like Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 wah. Until the Lord gives us ears to hear and eyes to see, we are living in a perpetual state of darkness and confusion and emptiness. So no one was strong enough to subdue him. And then in verse 5 it says, night and day he would cry out and harm himself. Night and day. You know what this tells me? It tells me that the evil one doesn't let up. It tells me that the evil one has no mercy. It tells us that when Jesus said he came to kill, he wasn't joking. That the devil didn't just come and he's not here just to harass us. He's not here just to vex us. He's not here just to make us late for work. He's not here just to cause us, you know, to cause little mischievous things to happen. If he had his way, there would be death. If the demons could enter a herd of swine and drive them into the sea, it's only the mercy and grace of God that they didn't drive this man into the sea. It's only the mercy and grace of God that preserved this man who was beyond all human help long enough for Jesus to show up. The one who had the power to release him. And if he had his way fully, he would do to each one of us exactly what he did to those pigs. Drive us off the cliff into destruction. So what does he do? He targets our health. He targets our jobs. He targets our families. He targets our finances. He targets our faith. He targets our fellowship with one intention, to destroy, to create as much havoc as he can. And I just want to make the point that the evil one is nothing or no one to play around with. On earth, Martin Luther said, is not his equal. And I say this because as one who, before I came to know Christ, was dabbling in the occult, I didn't know what I was messing with. And it was only the grace of God that preserved me and prevented me from rushing down the hill in a metaphorical sense and destroying myself. And for every one of us in this room, if you are here this morning, you have not been destroyed because God has been merciful to you. It wasn't just because you, listen, it was not because you were raised by good parents. Because there's many a good parent whose child has destroyed himself or herself. And there are many parents who wish they'd done a much better job, and the kid turns out to be this fabulous icon of brilliance and godliness. And you say, whoa, what happened? It's the grace of the living God. And I can't explain it. I cannot explain it to you. I can't tell you why. All I know is that if the evil one had his way, all of us would be destroyed. If the Lord had not been in the mix, we would have been consumed, Lamentations tells us. Night and day, he was crying out and harming himself. And you think that the evil one felt a twinge, even a tinge of mercy? He just wanted to step on the gas. Verse 7, it says, he was screaming at the top of his voice, this demon, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. So here's an interesting thing. So this demon is wreaking havoc. This legion of demons are wreaking havoc. And no one is able to subdue him. And Jesus shows up. And at the top of his voice, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. You know, that's not the top of my voice. Can you imagine what that sounded like? He didn't say, Jesus, Son of God, no. It was, I won't even do it. Jesus, Son of God, Son of the Most High God. See, even though the evil one obscures the identity of the living God to human beings, he himself knows the truth. And when confronted by the truth staring him in the face, he couldn't lie. He had to speak the truth. And he spoke it at the top of his voice. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. This is a preview of things to come, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, including the evil one's tongue. He was just practicing here for what's to come. It's a preview of things to come when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What we are in today is a war of propaganda. That is what we are in today, with the evil one trying to confuse and spread disinformation about the true identity of Jesus. We see what's going on here. He tells everybody else lies about Jesus. But when he's confronted, he has to tell the truth about Jesus. And he has to tell the truth about his power and about his majesty. Then in verse 7, he says, swear to God that you won't torture me. He knows that he's powerless against the Most High. Just as this man who was possessed by this legion of demons was powerless against the forces of evil, so the evil one knows he is powerless against the Most High God. He knows it. And so he says, swear to God that you won't torture me. Torture me. Torture me. This is what I mean when I say often that the evil one is not an equal rival to God. Sometimes people think that, you know, here's God and here's the evil one, and they're equal forces just pitted against one another. It's simply not the truth. He's a rival. He is an enemy. He is the enemy. The scripture says he is the evil one and he's a rival, but it's nothing like equal. He is one of those World War I biplanes. against just one against the entire Air Force. That's who he is. Only much, much, much worse than that. He's just a notion. He's just a blink. He is just a thought away from oblivion. And he knows, the scripture says, his time is short. He knows it. As Martin Luther said, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. And then he says, did we in our own strength confide, says Luther, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness, grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word. One little word. You know what that word is? Enough. Done. You're finished. And a day is coming. Glory to God. When we will not have to battle wicked thoughts. When we won't have to battle wicked inclinations. When we won't have to battle self-destructive notions. When we won't have to battle ill will towards someone else. When we won't have to deal with jealous thoughts. When we won't have to deal with envy, when we won't have to deal with all the deeds of the flesh that are outlined in Galatians chapter 5 and that the devil plays like a fine instrument in terms of our temptations towards those things. One day, thank you, Jesus. So here he is tormenting this man. Look at the hypocrisy. You know the old wrestling? I don't know. Some of you may not remember this because you're too young. But the old Don's laughing because he remembers. But the old big time wrestling used to characterize one guy. I'm sure they still do it, where they have one is the villain and the other one is the good guy. But the villain will do all this dirt. And then when he's in a vulnerable position, he's like, don't do it, don't do it, do it. And the whole crowd is yelling, do it, do it, do it, do it. Because of the hypocrisy, he's doing all kinds of stuff, creating all kinds of mayhem, cheating and doing everything. But when it's time for him to be the one who's in the scope, the one who's in the sights, the one who is in the vulnerable position, he's begging, don't do it. Well, that's what's going on here. He's tormenting this man night and day, relentlessly. And then he's begging. Says he begged over and over and over again, begging, don't torment us. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And then it says in verse 15, clothed after the Lord cast out this legion of demons, and they hopped into the swine and rushed down the hill to their destruction, to the swine's destruction. It says in verse 15 that the man was sitting there before Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The Lord can calm any storm that the evil one creates. Whatever the evil one twists, the Lord can straighten. If there is an example of God's power triumphing against all odds, can you think of a bigger one, a better one, a more dramatic one than this? Who would have thought in the span of 20 verses, the man in the beginning of this chapter would wind up being a missionary? Because that's what he became. See, the Lord said, okay, you can't go with me. But you go and listen to what the Lord told him. He said, you go tell your family. He was only under obligation, if you want to think of it that way. It wasn't really an obligation, but the only instruction that the Lord gave him was go home and talk to your family. Your brother, your sister, your mother, your uncle, people who know you. Just go talk to them. Tell them what God has done. But is that what he did? No. If you look at what it says he went and spread it throughout the whole Decapolis. All 10 cities. He's running around telling them what happened to him. Who would have thought it? Who would have thunk it? Our amazing God. And it's a bit of humor here because it says the people were afraid. They were afraid of his calm. He's sitting there, and they're looking at this, and they're terrified. He's not terrifying. He's not terrorizing anybody. He's not throwing stones, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. He's calm. He's sitting there. He's chilled. He's sitting at Jesus' feet. And the people saw him, and they got terrified because of this, because of the anomaly of this thing. This doesn't make sense. This is otherworldly here. How did that happen? We know who that guy is. We know what he's like. We've seen him. He's out here in the graveyard. We know what kind of person that this guy has been all these years. And now looking at him sitting there calm and speaking calmly, at peace, tranquil, thankful, hopeful, rejoicing, overwhelmed, a whole new life, a whole new view, sitting with people, not apart from them. Doesn't make sense. Sometimes that's how it is with the Lord when he takes the totally unexpected and turns it into something that is a marvel. See that with the Apostle Paul, totally unexpected. So unexpected they were afraid of him too after his conversion. No, we don't trust him because we know what he was like. And we don't believe what we're seeing with our eyes. And we don't believe what we're hearing with our ears because this doesn't make any sense. So he's sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. Thank you, Lord. Whatever the evil one twists, you can straighten it out. I don't know what's twisted in your life today. I don't know whether it's something that's twisted in you, where you wish that thing that's inside of you was straightened out, or whether it's a situation externally, like this man's family must have been thinking. Is there any way for that mess to be straightened out that's going on with him? It's impossible. He had a family. He had a family who loved him. He had a mother who gave birth to him. He might have had a brother. He might have had a sister who cared about him. We don't know what happened that got him where he was, but he had a family, and Jesus knew that the family would be concerned. And he cared about them, so he said, you make sure, don't just go with me, because they'll think you're up here for the rest of your life. No, you go and tell them what God has done for you. You show yourself to your family. Let them rejoice with you over what God has done. But it says he begged, in verse 18, it says he begged to go with him. He begged to go with Jesus. See, to this man, it was personal. This was not a religious event for him. This was a personal experience of Jesus Christ. This was not, in his mind, a call to go to synagogue. This was not, in his mind, a call to straighten up his life. This was not, in his mind, embracing a code of conduct of right and wrong. It was deeper than that. This was about that man who healed me. I want to go with him. I beg you. I don't know where you're going. Just take me with you. I beg you. Let me go with you. Well, this is so refreshing. And it's so instructive. Because I believe that's the picture of true discipleship. That's the picture that the Lord wants each one of us to have when it comes to living a Christ-full life. Living a Christ-filled life. Living a Christ-fueled life. It's not about the jots and the tittles. It's not about the bean counting. It's not about the do's and the don'ts. It's about, I want to follow you, Jesus. No matter what I'm like, I got all kinds of stuff hanging off of me. I've got all kinds of stuff that needs to be fixed. I've got all kinds of issues. But Lord, I want to follow you. Take me with you. That's the heart, brothers and sisters. That's the heart. And the evil one wants to make it about everything else but that. You see, because that is not about performance. That is about grace. That is about the love that God has for you. That is about his desire for you, his compassion for you, his desire to be connected with you. With you, as you are. As you are. As God blesses us to focus on Christ himself, you know what? You know what happens? It amazingly simplifies spirituality. If you think spirituality is complicated, it's really not. I didn't say it's easy, but it's not complicated. When you have the same attitude, when God blesses us with this same attitude of seeing the glory of Jesus and just wanting to be with him, it's amazingly simple. It filters out religious static. And it filters out legalistic compliance to rules that clutter that clutter the true essence of what it means to be a disciple. It is about heart. It is about faith. It is about love. It is about desire. The eyes of the Lord, it says in Chronicles, roam to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support the one who what? Has it all together? The one who has done everything right. No, the one whose heart is completely his, like this guy. Jesus, help us. When I became a believer, I wanted Jesus too. That's all I wanted. I keep this picture nearby of me at 22 years old. I had been a believer for maybe about seven weeks, actually. And I'm at this Christian event, and I've got this big old cheesy grin on my face, and I didn't have anything together. Nothing. All I had was the joy of Jesus and the desire for more. That's all I had. Had no big promises, had no pedigree, didn't have any kind of role or title or nothing. I was a nobody in the church. Nobody really knew me. They were getting to know me, but all of that didn't matter. I had Jesus, And my heart was, Jesus, I want more of you. I want to follow you. What more is down the road? And I'm so thankful that in recent years, the Lord has sharpened my focus on that singular desire. It's never left, but he has sharpened my focus on that. And I am so thankful. I am so thankful. Because that's the whole ball of wax. Everything else flows from that, brothers and sisters. Everything else flows from this attitude that this man had right here. Everything else. It's not your knowledge. It's great to have knowledge. But it's not your discipline. It's great to have discipline. I'll go back. Don't write me any cards or letters telling me that I think there's something wrong with discipline. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's more. There's more. And the Lord can show us that. We can't snatch it. All we can do is ask him. All we can do is beg him. He desires it for us. He's given us everything we need within us by the Holy Spirit to be able to access it, to be able to receive it. Just don't let the evil one sidetrack you. I told the Lord this morning, Lord, I want to live in the freedom. I want to live in the freedom of trusting in your greatness. I want to live in the freedom of trusting in your greatness. And I said, may every event today, every event, every emotion, every thought, every interaction, every trial, every pleasure, everything that's anything on this day, I want it all to lead me to greater trust in you. That's where I want to go. That's where I want to be. That's how I want to interpret it. Bless me with that, Lord. You know, out of all the satanic activity that's taken place on the earth, the Lord is authoring an amazing encyclopedia of fantastic stories of how he has taken what is twisted and straightened it out. And we have stories to add to that encyclopedia, because if we take the time to think, if we take the time to meditate, if we take the time to praise, if we take the time to say thank you, if we take the time to just sit and think for a while, we can, just like this man that the Lord touched and healed, say thank you, Jesus, for straightening that out. Thank you, Jesus, for straightening that out. There's so much more where that came from in you. And I'm done. Amen. Let's stand for our benediction, after which Brother George will be giving us a worship selection on the streaming. So you just refresh your page and enjoy his worship to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every brother and sister in this room. Lord, it's not on us to make it happen. It's on us to look to you. It's on us, Lord, to have a heart that just says, Lord, I want. And you inspire that. That even comes from you. Just this morning, Lord, I'm thanking you for being the inspiration behind my aspiration. Because it is you. You are the inspiration behind our aspiration. We aspire because you inspire. We want because you first wanted for us. We love because you first loved us. We are what we are because you are who you are. And so, Lord, we are totally on this Independence Day dependent upon you. And we thank you for the invincibility of our dependence on you. that, Lord, when we are trusting in you, there is nothing that we cannot do. All things are possible with you. All things are possible through you. Indeed, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. And so, Lord, the question is not how strong are we? The question is, where is our focus? And I ask that you bless us all this week with a focus on you as the one who can straighten out whatever is twisted. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Good morning, Valley Brook. The Bible says in Psalm 31, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to hear me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me."